I myself have always wondered what effect good grammar really has on communication. Can it really impact your negative perceptions, for example, of the sender of an email? Can it make it harder for you to understand the meaning of a communication if it is littered with grammatical errors? Good grammar isn't easy. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of rules. It also doesn't help that it has its roots in older Germanic tongues, but has been influenced heavily in its beginnings by a little Latin here, a little Greek there, and so on. Throw into the fact that it has become the lingua franca of the globe, and consequently, modifications to it occur constantly as new speakers bring in new vocabulary, new contexts, new uses. And on top of it all, the speed we need to communicate via multiple media, often while multitasking, places constraints and pressures upon our communicative performance, ultimately meaning that not just our grammar, but the meanings of what we're trying to express can very quickly break down, even for the best of us, resulting unfortunately in not just problems of credibility, but also of understanding. Since we are communicating across cultures, communicating often without face-to-face interpersonal cues that help us contextualize the language we're using, it seems all the more important that we use rules for grammar that enable, do not detract from, the messages we seek to impart. A select few of us are just good at grammar. An equal number, if not more, are really bad at it. The rest of us all fall somewhere in between. This isn't something we're happy about, but given the demands of our schedule, as much as we'd like to be better, it isn't possible to devote huge swaths of time to practicing and memorizing grammatical rules. However, I'm a big believer in teaching by example, and of building into our existing work and thought processes triggers or helpful tips that can be digested quickly and then later employed to help us with particular grammatical problems that stymie us. The purpose of this podcast is by way of example to provide you with a few tips to help you learn how to overcome a selection of typical grammatical errors, especially those seen in email. We cannot in a short podcast cover every grammar error that plagues us, but we can start with ones that occur frequently for many of us. In fact, I already included, on purpose, in the first couple of sentences of this podcast, the problem spots I want to cover. Here are those sentences again. I myself have always wondered what effect good grammar really has on communication. Can it really impact your negative perceptions, for example, of the sender of an email? Can you hear the words that could cause the problems? Here they are with examples, explanations, and tips. First, myself. When is the right time to use myself, me, or I? About the only way is how I used it, by referring back to, well, myself in the sentence. Of course, we actually see and hear it used all the time, and we might even be guilty of doing it. The reason for doing it, to be honest with you, it is because we don't know if we're supposed to use I or we, so the safe middle road means we choose myself. But how do we know when to use it? Here's a tip by way of example. John and me were acting on behalf of the company. John and myself were acting on behalf of the company. John and I were acting on behalf of the company. So which one's right? Well, right away you eliminate myself, and the easy way to tell whether it should be me or I for this example or others is eliminate the partner. In other words, how would the sentence sound if John wasn't included? Me was acting on behalf of the company, or I was acting on behalf of the company? Easy choice, right? Using I sounds a lot better. Almost always you can choose correctly just by eliminating the partner. The next trouble spot focuses on can versus may. If you're like me, the great can versus may debate really strikes close to home, simply because at some point, probably in elementary school, a well-meaning teacher caused you some intellectual, if not physical, discomfort by testing you on the crucial difference between can and may. For me, Mrs. Ashby, my second grade teacher, more than once had me almost heading to the office to call my mom to ask for new underwear when I would plead with her, "Can I please go to the bathroom?" "I don't know, Brian," she asked. "Can you?" Okay, this just wasn't the right time, and I even said, "Please, yes," and "please," which was supposed to count for something, right? But she was insistent, and of course she had a legitimate point that therapy has allowed me to gain greater appreciation for. There is, after all, a big difference between can and may. Can is about capability. May is about permission. Let's say there's a sign in the parking lot that reads, "You may not park in this lot after hours." The use of may means you do not have permission. Can you park there? Yeah. Assuming a gate isn't blocking the way, you certainly can. But may you? No, not after hours. Can is about capability. May is about permission. Up next is effect, and the effect that comes from not figuring it affects even the best of us. The easiest way to remember how to use affect starting with an A and affect starting with an E correctly is that affect with an A is primarily used as a verb meaning to alter a feeling or change the state of something or someone, whereas affect with an E generally refers to the results of something or to some phenomenon in the world. So let's test you. Do you use affect with an A or affect with an E here in the following example? The effect of increased oil prices will be felt soon at the gas pump. Well, this refers to the result of something, so it is affect with an E. Affect with an A would come into play this way. Rising oil prices will affect gas prices this summer. Still confusing? Again, affect with an A is the verb, acting upon something, but affect with an E is the noun, the thing that is causing something to happen. Perhaps then an easy way to remember, not always perfect, is affect with an A acts or does, affect with an E results or causes. On now to what should be something easy to execute, but I see being done quite a bit in error, especially in email. That's the correct usage of its. So again, a quick quiz. Which do you use for the first sentence? It's with the apostrophe or its, I-T-S, without? It's up to you. It apostrophe S is a contraction meaning it is. If you can say or write it is and it makes sense, then that's the right choice. In this case, therefore, it is up to you sounds right and is right. Here's another quiz sentence. It's your responsibility. So what do you pick? Tricked you if you were thinking it had to be the opposite, because I've been doing that before. Again, it apostrophe S works because it is your responsibility works. When doesn't it? When it's is possessing something. It's without the apostrophe is a possessive pronoun, not a contraction, as in its tires squealed upon stopping. You can't say or write, it is tires squealed upon stopping, so possession is at work, not contraction. That covers just a few of the basic grammar usage problems that occur when we move too quickly trying to communicate key things via email, if not other documents or media. Are there others? Sure. As mixing up their or your possessive pronouns with they are, their, or your, you are contractions. There are many others as well. If emphasis on this subject seems popular, we'll focus on more, and you can always leave comments suggesting others you'd like covered on the podcast page, or if you like, you can cover them yourselves. More help is better. Two key things, perhaps universal tips to take away from the problem spots we've covered and solutions to them. First, read over what you write at least once. If you're mad or stressed, read over it more than once. Take a break, walk away, move your eyes away, and then read it again with new eyes a couple of minutes later. If you have doubts, follow the golden rule that if it doesn't sound right, more than likely it isn't. If you can't say me, then use I. If you can't write it, it's more than likely it's is possessing something, not acting as a contraction. And if you're doing something that is impacting something, you're acting or affecting with an A. And that can result in something, which can be an effect with an E or a noun. I'm Brian Still for the Professional Communication Society.